This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The puck tucked to the front of the net. They score! What a play as Greenway buries it. Comes right in front of the net and scores! Out of the way, it's Greenway.
Sabres and Jordan Greenway agree to an extension yesterday. The trade deadline, of course, is just over a day away. Welcome in on Sabres Live as we get set for what the next 27 hours holds. And obviously, there has been activity around the league. We talked about it yesterday that there are teams making moves to retain players, take them off the potential trade market. Greenway would fall into that category. Quick thought on Jordan's deal.
Well, we discussed this yesterday because the rumor came in that potentially the Greenway deal would be 2 years at $3.5 million. It ended up being 2 years at $4 million a year. There's a difference between $3.5 million and $4 million. But in the place that the Sabres are at, I think they need to retain some kind of veteran presence. Once again, I think Greenway not only on the ice, but in the room and as a individual, as a veteran presence, and they need that. I almost feel like that was maybe a miss a few years back, the lack of veterans around to be able, like a Greenway, that's why they acquired them. Mm-hmm. And now you see what Zucker's done, and that's another story we're going to be keeping an eye on. So I'm good. I know there's, some comments on social media. We put it out today, like your reaction. Somebody says, I can't believe we had to give him a no-trade clause. It's a five-team no-trade clause. Like, it's not significant. If something was to happen, you wanted to move Greenway, he's the type of player teams are always looking for. It's not like you're locking yourself in and saying, we have a guy with a no-trade clause. It's not important. But the 2 years is, I feel like that's the right fit for the Sabres and a guy like Greenway.
As he continues this season and the next two, it's a game night for the Sabres. They are in Tampa. Hear the game right on WGR, Sports Radio 550. Watch it on ESPN. So this is essentially your pregame show for those of you that like tuning in on MSG. It has not been easy in the last 15 years, I would say, for Buffalo against Tampa, except very recently. This is a little bit of an oddity. The Sabres have won 5 of the last 6 head-to-head. Vasilevsky starts for the Lightning. He's lost the last 3 times out against Buffalo. And here we are on March 6th. This is the first meeting of the year between these two. We're going to see him 3 times in a month, as Buffalo will again be without Jason Zucker tonight, make it 5 straight games missed for him due to injury.
Yeah, so the Zucker thing is puzzling right now because you knew he was battling something. And remember when him and Tuck like didn't finish the game and we discussed about what do you think is going to happen? I said, it's playoff hockey right now. They're both going to be back there, but we're in a different situation with the Sabres having lost their last four. And, you know, so now it was a little bit more like, let's look ahead to the trade deadline and see if we can get Zucker healthy, if there's teams calling, or even to just for him, for his well-being, get him back on the ice. And I feel that we've had very little in terms of change in Zucker's availability. Like, he's not skated. Like, sometimes you'll hear, oh, he skated on his own or he's doing this. Like, no, there's nothing going on. That's concerning. That's not concerning because I don't think the Sabres are out there saying, oh, man, we can't make a move and trade Zucker right now. I don't know that they want to trade Zucker. I think they'd like to do with Zucker what they did with Greenway and keep him and have him say, hey, game one next year, he's on the roster. But I'd like to see him on the ice. Like, he's a difference maker, I feel, for the team and the way that he brings energy, the way that he talks on the bench. We had him mic'd up a few times this year. It's always going. There's always communication. It makes other players around him better. I feel like that's puzzling right now that they haven't been able to get him right, at least to be taking steps forward.
I don't know why I 100% disagree with you here. Like, to me, it's obvious. He blocked a shot. He's probably got something that usually takes 2 to 4 weeks. He tried to play the next game, realized he couldn't, and he's probably going to be out 2 to 4. This is all, no one has said anything to me. This is my hunch, because this is what happens when people block shots. Sorry.
But when you think that, if that's the case, hey, what's going on with Jason Zucker? We got an update. He'll be out 2 to 4 with a lower body injury, like an update as opposed to day to day. Like, if you're that to me is why it's puzzling.
Have they said day to day? No, we find out on an every other day basis when the game rolls around that he's not available. Have they actually said day to day?
I don't think they said day to day, but they're treating it at day to day. Like, if you ask an update on a player and the update isn't week to week or 4 weeks or 8 weeks, I'm treating it as you're dealing with it day to day. So I'm just saying that, like, that's
just
why
it's asking if I missed them saying.
No,
that's all.
I don't recall them saying it day to day, but it feels like it's being treated as a day to day, the way that it's handled. No, but you're right. Like, I think it's simple. He blocked a shot, tried to play, had another incident, and then it's like, okay, he's out. Mm-hmm. But if you know, if I broke my collarbone, they're like, he's out 12 weeks. Okay, good. That's it, right? If you have a broken bone, if you have a bruise, if you have a situation, it's like, he's out 2 to 4. He's out 10 days or, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks. Like, there hasn't been any update in that way. So I feel like that was expected of, we'll deal with it on a day-to-day basis. But I'd like to, you know, be able to get maybe it's just because it's a trade deadline and nobody wants to say he's out 4 weeks because you maybe are talking to other teams.
Okay, which I applaud. Gamesmanship is perfect at this point in time. And sorry, the only reason I giggled when you referenced a injury that you had was...
There's only one.
You're describing only one to talk yourself about. And it's like, broken collarbone, gone for 12 weeks, good. And I'm thinking, is he meaning that social media said good back in the day that you were gone for, like, anyway, I digress.
You know, my trade deadlines have been very active. I got traded on trade deadline and I snapped my collarbone in half on trade deadline. It was a morning practice at 10 o'clock, 10:30 with the Rangers on trade deadline my first year. I like walk back to the locker room with my arm hanging and I'm like white as a ghost. And Glenn Sater walked over to me and he goes, what happened? I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm done. He's like, and it's trade deadline day. Like, he wasn't planning on shopping for a goalie and he didn't because he got Chad Johnson to just get called up from Hartford and finish the season with them. But maybe he was going to have to, you know, pivot. So that's the thing. Like, it just, my trade deadline days have been fun.
I feel like we're driving through the mountains right now, and I apologize if we're causing motion sickness for the audience, but we are going in a lot of different directions. Like, it's game day, it's signing season, it's trade deadline, and the winding road continues no matter which name you kind of throw into all of this. So, sorry, I'm usually a very straight line person with topics and things like that.
Hockey trade yesterday, an actual hockey trade that happened yesterday.
Yeah, but
not
why?
Like rental trades or whatever.
But and why?
Why is the question? So, and I think because of our reaction, you know, I think that it maybe it has a bit of doing with the Sabres is that like Pittsburgh and Nashville made a hockey trade. They traded Tommy Novak and Luke Shen to Pittsburgh for Michael Bunting and a fifth round pick or something going to Nashville. Both teams aren't making the playoffs, but they're like, all right, this is a hockey trade. So I'm thinking for those that want to see a lot of movement for the Sabres tomorrow, other than rental trades, like Henry Jokiharju being traded because he's a UFA or now Jason Zucker being traded because he's a UFA, hockey trades for teams that are not in the playoff picture, everybody in the world would think, well, why? Like Nashville and Pittsburgh is like, why? Unless you're trading with Vancouver and Vancouver is like, we need that person to get in the playoffs. But Nashville and Pittsburgh made a trade. And my first reaction was, what is that all about? Like those two teams could have done the same thing over the summer or even an even better trade over the summer, but they decided to do it now.
I'm all for sarcasm and I love the group text and the but why. But the reality of everything you just said is, for whatever reason, if you identify a player that has a year to go on his deal and you think he can help, i.e. Bunting to Nashville, why let somebody else try to pry him out of Pittsburgh? Just make the move. It's not, like you say, not affecting your standings place this year. But it gives you already that one more option for next year. And I think it's almost just trying to get ahead of it as opposed to waiting for the offseason. The surprising component, based on how I gushed about this player the last 2 years, is that Tommy Novak fell out of favor that quickly in Nashville. To me.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But I look at it like, oh, Pittsburgh might still see something. So this could be good for them too.
But for me, it makes more sense. Like last year, the Colorado Avalanche had a need at center and the Sabres identified Bo Byram from years before. So one of the team is like going in the playoffs or at least is in a battle but Nashville, Pittsburgh, it's like, why are those two teams are even talking about it? But you're right. Look, if you identify, and I personally think Pittsburgh came up on top. So if Pittsburgh is in, our defense is struggling and we need a defenseman that's available. Who's available? And we all know, well, both Braden Shen in St. Louis center and Luke Shen in Nashville, defenseman, they may be available. Let's see. Can we get Luke Shen? Oh, we could get Luke Shen and Tommy Novak for Michael Bunting. Like, okay, let's do it. I think it works out well for Pittsburgh, but it doesn't move the needle this year.
Keep in mind, Shen obviously could still be flipped, but the Penguins defense corps, and already with the departure of Marcus Pettersson to Vancouver, has been getting retooled. And if they part with another name or two tomorrow, you need to have somebody to play the games. So Shen fits that. Plus, what they said about Shen as far as, you know, I don't know how much, this is no disrespect to Shen. Obviously his resume in the game is impressive. It's just how many more veterans could they possibly want in Pittsburgh to cultivate a good environment for people moving forward? You literally have the greatest of his generation in Crosby and you still have Letang and Malkin, unless you think you're getting rid of them tomorrow. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they're getting rid of all three and Luke Shen is the captain next year. I don't know.
Well, he does have that leadership component to his game, but yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I mean, I would very, very much doubt that you do those moves in the off season. You prepare for next year. But look, I mean, that's a trade that happened yesterday. I mean, the big one was obviously the Tampa trade, and we're going to see those guys in the lineup tonight. Yanni Gourde going back, Oliver Bjorkstrand from Seattle. I've said it for a few years now. When Pittsburgh won their back-to-back cups, Duffer, and it was Crosby, Malkin, and Nick Bonino down the middle. And Bonino was really good, right, for Pittsburgh. It was Bonino, Phil Kessel, Carl Hagelin was their third line. And it almost felt like you needed three centers. Go one, two, three. We had that discussion at nauseam in Buffalo with Eichel, O'Reilly, Reinhardt, right? It was like, can they go one, two, three, Eichel, O'Reilly, Reinhardt? Then is Sam a center? Nah, 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 nah. But I feel like teams really put a lot of weight on having three centers that can follow one, two, three. The Florida Panthers won the cup last year. Barkov, Bennett, Lundell. They still have Barkov, Bennett, Lundell. Tampa, when they won the cup, was Point, Cirelli, Gourde. So now they reacquire Gourde, and it's Point, Cirelli, Gourde. You look at Vegas. Vegas at Eichel, Stevenson, William Karlsson. One, two, three down the middle. So that's why I think Tampa made the deal. But then my first thought was, okay, what does that mean for Buffalo? Is this where now Buffalo should focus on? Because Tage Thompson is on the wing. Dylan Cousins is not your second line center. You have Ryan McLeod as a three, but you're still looking for a one and two. Kulik could be a one and two, but that's a doesn't put you up against those other teams, right? So that's still my focus now. When I saw that trade happen last night, or yesterday afternoon, I thought, big trade for Tampa. Great return for Seattle with the two first-round picks and everything. They, you know, they're not in this year. But what does that mean for Buffalo? What can they take out of this and move forward?
I think you buried the lead on that trade.
The fact that Tampa traded two first-rounder and they don't care about him?
Exactly. That's exactly the story. Nobody really cares about Gourde and Bjorkstrand other than the Lightning. And this is, again, all due respect to what they've accomplished in their careers. Gourde, Stanley Cup winner. Bjorkstrand, consistent 20-goal scorer, which is perfect for the Lightning. But you watched Brisebois's presser yesterday, and the literal lack of care, desire to keep first-round picks, I like hearing something different.
So, and he, Tampa had seven, the last seven drafts, they had two first-rounder. Can you name one of them?
No.
No, right? So last year, they had the Sphere last year. I remember running into John Cooper, and I'm like, hey, this is pretty cool. He goes, yeah, we don't do anything until the fourth round. They didn't draft until the fourth round. He's like, this is cool. He went to the top of the building. He's doing the behind the scenes. Like, Lightning didn't draft until the fourth round, so in the last seven drafts, they've had two first-rounder. In 2022, they drafted a guy named Isaac Howard from the U.S. National Development Team. He's a left-winger. And in 2019, they drafted Nolan Foote, who has played a total of 25 NHL games.
Well, Nolan's in the Devils organization. So
he's not even there anymore. Yeah, I get that. But I'm just saying, like, it's just they don't care. And that's, they went to three straight Stanley Cups. They won two. They're a perennial, you know, like Stanley Cup contender. Like they've got their guys and they don't care about the first. They won't draft in the first round potentially until 2028. That's how it is.
And the cap goes up and they'll figure out a way to add more. That's what they
get. They're, at some point they'll get older and they may, but Julien Brisebois.
Dude, they got younger because they let Stamkos go.
Yeah, well, that too. But I'm just saying, like, Kucherov is getting older and Edmund.
60 points in 60 games. So I think it's worked out pretty well, which is a hard thing to say based on how emotional and hard the decision was back then.
You're 100% true. Like, it was an emotional decision. But Braden Point still goes. They added Gensel. So, like, they just, the Lightning are the Lightning. They have been aggressive. And now Florida's being aggressive. And it's like the state of Florida is like the new, like, powerhouse of, we're going to bulldoze the league.
But they may not, and that's the thing.
Well, yeah.
How much change happens between now and tomorrow? Darren Dreger from TSN joins us at the bottom of the hour to discuss that and who's made the most impactful moves right now. It could be argued that it's Tampa, based on their comfort with these players and their desire to round things out to their liking. They are already 10-1-1 in their last 12. Yeah. They are already 11-1-1 in their last 13 at home. And based on everything you just said about the Sunshine State, Buffalo is walking into these two games with these two opponents a combined 24 and one overtime decision in the last 25 games. That's what the Lightning and Panthers have done lately.
Just, and well, yeah, the only loss for the Lightning in regulation was to the Panthers. It was a 2-1 game, a great hockey game, a tight battle.
Yeah.
This is a tough trip. Look, when we talked about the Sabres segment, and I don't think we're going to be talking as much about the Sabres five-game segments. I mean, they could go on a run and win 10, 12 in a row, and now all of a sudden you're like, okay, you're making it up. Mm-hmm. The San Jose loss really hurt what was to look ahead to the second segment, the new segment. But when you looked at the five-game segment, it was San Jose, Tampa, Florida, Edmonton, and Detroit. This road trip to Tampa and Florida was going to be tough. And then you got the Oilers, who are struggling right now, coming into town on Monday, and Detroit was in a playoff battle. And then I don't even want to talk about the next five after that, because it starts with Vegas, and Vegas is, you know, they just rolled Tampa yesterday, not Tampa, Toronto, 5-2. You know, it was 4-0 early in the second. Vegas is rolling. So these next couple of weeks were going to be really tough, you know, schedule-wise for the Sabres anyway.
Well, again, I'll reiterate, Buffalo took 3 of 4 against the Lightning last year. They've won 5 of the last 6 head-to-head. And the only statistical anomaly, I think, like really hard to believe one, they have a significantly losing record within their own division. They're 7-10 against the Atlantic. This does not particularly bode well for them, which is undoubtedly why they made the moves they did, in the likelihood they're going to face Toronto or Florida, which is obviously inevitable based on where the standings have been and the fact there's only 3 points separating the three teams.
Yeah, those top teams in the Atlantic, there's a battle going on right now. I feel like Toronto dropped one yesterday, so now technically, because of regulation wins, they fall out of first place. They've been first in the Atlantic for a while now, and mm-hmm. Florida's taken over. And Tampa, with a game in hand, I don't want it to happen, but let's just, for, you know, pencil it in. Like, Tampa wins tonight. They are a point behind Florida and a point behind Toronto, and it's everybody's right there. And to me, that's a little unexpected. I thought Toronto was setting themselves apart, and Tampa and Florida were in the middle. But I feel the trades and I feel the play of late has shown a totally different flip in the Atlantic Division at the top. And it makes for a fun race, because you want to finish first. You do not want to have to play one of those three teams, in my opinion. And look, if you finish first right now, you'd be taking on, you'd be taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Columbus is a fun team, but Columbus is no Florida, Tampa, or Toronto. So that's the difference. That's the reward for finishing first in the Atlantic Division.
I kind of get that logic. I look at every entry into the playoffs as you're going to have to beat them at some point. Yeah. So whether it's the first or second round, it doesn't really matter to me. I get it. It's always great for a team to, you know, win a round, build off of that, create even more enthusiasm around the franchise. But yeah, I mean, just the way the playoffs are set up, you're gonna play them at some point here.
You're gonna play good teams. The only thing is, do you want to have to play both Tampa, yeah, or Florida, or both Florida or Toronto, yeah, or would you rather play Columbus and then Florida or Tampa? Or
I have a lot more questions about this, but I feel like they might be best held until the bottom when Darren joins us, and just, you know, speak more to the impact of trades so far and the bigger names in play and what he suspects will happen. There are so many significant injuries around the league too, specifically in the East with New Jersey that could derail what seemed like an automatic playoff berth for them for much of the year. It was, you know, recognizing that Hughes Jack is now out until the fall, yes. And that Dougie Hamilton is week to week, it really struck me when I was reminded that they've missed the playoffs 11 of the last 13 years. And if they go backwards now, it's 12 out of 14. And that sure seems like a different talking point than the team that was going to add at the deadline.
Yeah. And so when you talk about New Jersey, 2012, went to the Stanley Cup final, lost to the LA Kings, right? And then after that, it's been an up and down battle. They moved on from Zach Parise. They moved on from Adam Henrique. They moved on from Marty Brodeur. They moved on from a lot of pieces that were their success in the late 2009, 2010, whatever. But now Jack Hughes, that's huge. That's big for them. That's why they went and got Brian Dumoulin today from Anaheim, because they, so the word is Tom Fitzgerald said, the Jack Hughes injury is not changing my plan at the deadline.
Right.
They're not moving from a buyers to a seller or seller to buyers more. The Dougie Hamilton injury, well, you got to get a defenseman, right? You got to get somebody else. So maybe they get a center to help down the middle with Nico Hischier there.
Oh, they will. They will.
But they're in a position where they feel they got a good team.
They
and
do.
Making
Look
the
at
playoffs
how many
in New Jersey.
Forwards they have, even beyond Jack Hughes. They have a stable there. There's no question.
Yes, Brad has been great. Nico Hischier has been great. They've got some really, really good players. But for New
Jersey,
you
always choose not
to
mention Timo Meier. I don't understand.
Timo Meier is there. Yes. Dawson Mercer has been good. Like there's been a lot of good players. But here's the thing. For New Jersey making the playoffs, it's very valuable. There's always teams. Like Boston has been there, done that for now a little bit. I feel like
since 1968, actually.
Yeah. I feel like if Boston missed this year, it's not the same message. It's not like we need that playoff experience for our team. Like they've had it. So you miss, you regroup, you move forward next year. New Jersey is not in the same boat. When Buffalo gets knocking on the door, like they were 2 years ago, it's like do everything you can to get in because that is big. Once you get in, you're finally taking that step. New Jersey, they've got in. They beat the Rangers, you know, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, despite rotating goalies.
I know exactly. They had Nico Dawes and, you know,
Kira Schmid.
Kira Schmid, yeah. And
he was the star against the Rangers, quite frankly.
He had the shutouts, right? But anyway, that's why you got to get in.
Yes, and obviously the Sabres are in Tampa, wrapping up morning skate. Zucker won't play. Greenway's been extended for 2 years. We expect Luukkonen in goal. And, of course, the game is on ESPN and WGR Sports Radio 550. They move on to Sunrise. They take on the Panthers on Saturday. But tomorrow, Sabres road crew party in Lauderdale. And can't wait. Like, now we're 20, I don't even know. You know I'm terrible with the time of day math. But let's go 28 hours away just to maybe ballpark it.
We're 25 and a half
ballparks,
hours
Where's
away.
George today? Anyway, Sabres Road Crew Party, sabres.com/roadcrew is where you get the tickets. They're just $20. Hop on a last minute flight or hopefully you've already made the trek and want to enhance the party tomorrow, which is going to be great. Don Edwards, Danny Gare, Jerry Korob, Jim Lorenz, Randy Moeller, Brad, Rob Ray, Pierre Turgeon. Razor, I love that I started with Brad on that.
Brad, yes, absolutely.
Sabres.com/roadcrew. Darren Dreger is next.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Must hockey insider Darren Dreger from TSN as we roll on Sabres Live on this game day as Buffalo is in Tampa tonight. With Marty, I'm Brian, and Darren is looking very casual. Is it a casual trade deadline this year, Dregs, for you? You're looking, no?
No, I'm just disheveled. I've lost my glasses.
No, they're on your head.
No, are they?
Well, no, maybe they're not. I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what I don't know what's going on. Other than my phone is buzzing. I mean, and it's not like there's been a ton of activity today already. I mean, we saw the New Jersey trade acquiring Dumoulin, but it's more in the tail chasing that goes on this time of year, right? And I feel like that has to be what drives our sources, general managers, agents, everybody associated bonkers, because it's just a full-on carpet bomb. That's literally what we're doing, because, you know, we're chasing leads and sometimes it's speculation on social media and all of that. So, I mean, I had to look down to see what kind of shirt I was wearing. So that's and by the way, we had that regional game last night, Toronto at Vegas, and because of our friends at TNT and their doubleheader, it was a 10:23 p.m. puck drop, so it was a late one.
I actually think they ended up having to push it because it was in the Rangers. They went to overtime to Washington. It delayed everything. You guys were on late. I was watching you and O-Dog and Cheryl and Duthie for a little bit. You guys did a good job, but the game was snooze fest. Like, it was 4-0 early in the second. It was awful. I'm sorry to say that. But talking about the Leafs. Are they making a move for a center? Like, there's Lawton that's out there with the Flyers. There's Braden Schenn. Ryan Donato is in the rumor mill. And, like, he scored again with Chicago. Like, yeah, I mean, Rantanen, there's centers available this year. What's happening there?
Yeah, I mean, that's where Toronto's focus is on center ice. And, you know, I said this last night. I mean, again, social media wants to connect the Toronto Maple Leafs to the possibility of Mikko Rantanen. What I would say is, you know, if it was presented to Toronto and there was an opportunity, a way for them to do it, of course they'd have to consider it. I keep being told that it's highly, highly, highly unlikely. And, you know, even though, again, reportedly, as we know, Carolina has stepped up their aggressiveness to investigate what the market is for Mikko Rantanen, you know, even the teams that are heavily involved aren't convinced that he's going to be traded by the Hurricanes. I mean, I checked an hour ago, unless there's a sudden change, he's expected to play tonight for the Carolina Hurricanes. So there's no asset management that is going to be applied unless something changes and you're getting closer to a deal, or Tom Dundon comes down, the owner, and says, we're trading this guy because we're not letting that type of value walk out at the end of the season. So now back to Toronto. You know, until Doug Armstrong and the St. Louis Blues absolutely say with certainty that Braden Schenn is not available, then guys like Brad Treliving are going to continue to peck away. And if you're Doug Armstrong, why would you do that? I mean, the deadline is 3 o'clock Eastern. Maybe somebody steps up. Maybe there's another Western Conference team like LA or another team that doesn't get Mikko Rantanen, whatever, that feels like they've got the roster assets that make a difference to the St. Louis Blues, and Doug has to reconsider that. We know Toronto is willing to give up two, maybe even all three of those prospect kids, like Minton, Cowan, Ben Danford, who's a defenseman. Is that enough, given that they're not quite NHL ready? Don't know, but that's what Treliving is waiting for. And then on top of that, he's waiting for the Brock Nelson scenario to finally unfold. And it sure sounds like Lou Lamoriello, the general manager of the Islanders, is going to exhaust every trick he has to try and convince Brock Nelson to stay with the Islanders. I don't think he's going to stay, but out of respect to Lou, the player and his representative are willing to go through the process here and allow Lou to also then create a bigger market than the one that already exists, which is significant in Brock Nelson. So that's kind of where Toronto is encircling around center ice.
You'd hate to see those tears go to waste, but we'll see.
I had another joke. I thought that maybe Lou is waiting to see if Cal Clutterbuck will come back from his appearance on TV, and Matt Martin maybe he wants to have a bigger role.
Maybe. Well, yeah.
First of all, really good update for someone who's allegedly disheveled. That was impressive, wrapping it around the entire league. So thank you for that. Obviously, our audience here on Sabres Live wants to know what follows the Greenway extension yesterday as it pertains to any player in any contract situation with Buffalo approaching tomorrow.
Well, I know that Kevin Adams is grinding away at Jason Zucker. And you know, the message that I got probably around Tuesday was, you know, because look, I think we can all appreciate why there'd be trade interest in both Greenway and in Zucker, right? Aside from the bigger names that have been speculated on to this point all season long. But I kept getting the same response from Buffalo. Hey, look, these are valued pieces here moving forward. And unless we feel like there's just no deal to be made, we're going to continue to push and grind and negotiate. And they were successful in getting Greenway. I'll tell you guys, like the reason I kept circling around Buffalo and Greenway is because of the market that would have been there via trade for him. Now, how do you know exactly what you're getting back until you officially put that piece in play? But he's got a skill set that a lot of teams around the league, contending teams around the league, you know, have a lot of time for. And then you look at the experience of Jason Zucker, and that would be attractive to many as well. But it's attractive to the Buffalo Sabres. It's so that then takes us back to some of the bigger names that we've speculated on. And you know, why should Buffalo, aside from the predicament that they're in yet again as a non-playoff team, be in a full sell-off mode? They right. shouldn't be. They should be maintaining some of the pieces that they have and trying to keep and convince players that Buffalo is a good place to play. And they were successful in doing that with Greenway. Maybe they're successful in doing that with Zucker. So now you go back to the Cousins and the Byrams and the Tucks and the Paterkas. Well, if you're Adams, unless somebody blows your socks off, why are you trading those pieces? You're not, you know, unless you're getting pieces back. That, and look, there's nothing wrong with the shakeup, is there? Right? I mean, that's if you're open to a big move, and we know that Adams is, then the motivation for doing that is not just the players you're getting back, but it's a change. Mm-hmm. It's a change. It's a different, fresh look. You know, maybe that's some influence from Lindy Ruff, who looks at his roster and doesn't like what he sees on a nightly basis. I don't know. But that would be the value that I'd be looking at if I were the general manager. But I don't get the sense, and a lot can change, again, with a phone call here, a lot can change. I don't get the sense that they're close at this stage on any of those big names.
Yeah, I don't think they are close. But at the same time, I don't think why they would trade Paterka and Tuck. And you know, you talk about Byram and we'll see. But two names that I would think maybe would be in the conversation, if anything, maybe internally, would be Power and Samuelson. Is that something that could be quiet? Like, I haven't heard from anybody saying, all right, Power's in play or Samuelson in play.
No.
But GMs are so good at keeping it quiet. Would you be surprised if those names surfaced at some point later today or tomorrow?
Yeah, I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked because I remember poking around on this with Pat Brisson, specific Owen Power, but we're going back a few weeks ago now. And I, you know, again, I'm not quoting Pat, but I mean, his response was, I just don't see it. I mean, why would they do it? So, I don't feel like, it doesn't feel like you fall into a trade like that. And if you're having that trade, you'd probably want somebody as experienced as the agent, in this case, Pat Brisson, to be involved. Keep in mind, this is the guy that helped architect and facilitate the trade of Seth Jones from the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, to the Florida Panthers. And that was some nifty work by everybody involved, including, of course, the general managers and Billy Zito and Kyle Davidson. But for Florida to get Seth Jones at a $7 million cap hit, I mean, that's creativity across the board. So you would want, if you're Buffalo, whatever the maximum rate of return is going to be for Owen Power. I think they look at Owen and they see that he needs to be and will be, and maybe is to a point, a cornerstone. So let's not get intoxicated by the deadline here, which is what, 25, 26 hours away. You know, when you go into free agency and not as a shopper, you go into the summer looking at an entire landscape of 31 other clubs who are now in the same position. So why would you short yourself in moving a name like that at the trade deadline? If you're even remotely considering it, you wait until you've got a full audience in the offseason to see what actually is available. Again, if you're willing to consider something that dramatic.
Well, It's a fascinating time to try to answer what you just said, like why do it now as opposed to summer? But you can never truly know what the market bears based on who you're, like, this all comes back to yesterday's Tampa deal, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's not a team in the league, presumably, that parts with two first rounders for those two players, but Tampa will. And
Tampa parted with five picks for Tanner Janot 1 year. I mean,
yes, they did. Care. Thank you. This is amazing. So I think it's this arms race in the Atlantic, and obviously Buffalo's taking on Tampa tonight and Florida on Saturday. I don't want to narrow it down just to these teams like Toronto, which you led with.
Yeah.
But like, who has improved the most so far with deals in the last few weeks? Because a month ago, we would have said Carolina with Rantanen, would we not?
Yeah, probably. But I'm also reminded, Duffer, as you're setting the table there, of the length of conversation and negotiation that went into Jack Eichel to the Vegas Golden Knights. And we've had this chat before. I mean, that was several months in the works there. Mm-hmm. So, hey, look, I mean, we only know what we know. And if Kevin has had lots of conversations about Owen Power or Samuelson, well, then so be it. Maybe you do get to the line that we're at right now, which is the NHL trade deadline. It just, again, I'm reminded of the conversation I had with the agent, Pat Brisson. It's worthy of reinvestigating, but Buffalo needs roster players back. Mm-hmm. So who is stepping up and tearing apart their roster? A team that, you know, would want Owen Power, as an example, to be part of a deeper playoff push. Who is giving up the roster assets to do? Who can afford to do that would be the question that I, and the reason that I'm apprehensive a deal like that of that magnitude is actually there.
One last one for me. Will the Oilers acquire a goalie? And then if your answer is no, should the Oilers acquire a goalie?
And why won't it obviously be John Gibson, who's hurt again?
Hurt again, yeah. And look, I mean, those around John Gibson have been trying for several months, maybe longer than that, to connect John Gibson to the Edmonton Oilers or the Carolina Hurricanes. And you know, if you look at Stan Bowman, I'll give him credit. He's pushed back and he said, you know, the tandem we have is the same tandem that helped us to game seven in the Stanley Cup final last year. It's not on the goalies. Well, I mean, yeah, I can appreciate that. I mean, defensively as a team, they haven't been good, certainly not good enough, which, again, stresses out and puts too much pressure on your goaltender. But the end of the day, isn't that what goaltending is for? To be your last line of defense, to make the saves when you need them to make the saves and not let in one, two, three real bad ones in a night. I mean, Edmonton pretty obviously outscores their mistakes when McDavid and Dreisaitl and Hyman and Nuge and all of their offensive weapons are clicking, and they're not clicking right now. Now, I know that group pretty well, and the sense is that they're seeing signs in Connor's game that is showing them that he's coming out of this funk. You know, and not just the goal the other night, but he's coming out of it. And normally, historically, that has been a great sign for the Edmonton Oilers because he's the head of the snake. I mean, he literally drags them into the fight in every way. But they do need to add. You know, they're looking for a defenseman. I think that they had interest in Dumoulin, who ends up in New Jersey. Probably the cost was too high. I think they like Riley Smith. Add a little bit of experience up front. So I do think Stan Bowman is going to do something, but the reality of that situation to wrap up here is they're handcuffed by Evander Kane.
Yeah.
You know,
is he going to move?
Well, that's, you know, I think they'd love to trade his contract. Of course they would, because that frees up the space. Right. And if he's not willing to do that, then, and he's working hard, by the way, to try and get back, you know, I don't think they'd have to build a too heavy case to say that he's not going to be ready before game one of the playoffs. Problem is, those around him think that he thinks he's going to be ready before the playoffs start. Well, now you got a cap problem if you're the Oilers. So that's certainly the tricky scenario for Bowman right now.
All right, we got to fly, take a break on this game day. Darren, thanks for the insight, and good luck with the deadline tomorrow.
Buckle up, fellas. Hopefully Buffalo is busy.
The not disheveled Darren Dreger, hockey insider from TSN. We're back after this.
Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Sabres are in Tampa tonight. They are in Florida Saturday. Sabres road crew party in Lauderdale tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Amerks are on the road. They are still first in the American Hockey League, and they are in Laval the next two nights, Friday and Saturday. And really, really impactful moment on the standings and, quite frankly, for player growth and just situational opportunities. Like, I'm so looking forward to it. But we've got a trade deadline like 26 hours from now. And I really want to know from your standpoint, Marty, who do you think has, in fact, improved the most so far? And I'll throw this in. Whose value has skyrocketed among players who've not yet been traded?
Okay, so I think the team that has proved the most is the team that made the biggest move yesterday. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning. Look, right now we don't know what Matthew Tkachuk's status will be when it comes to the playoffs. Is he going to be 100%? Is he going to play with Florida? And Toronto still got some holes. Holes on forward, third line center, holes on defense. Mm-hmm. So I think Tampa is the one that's most improved, put themselves in the best spot. Whose value has risen the most? I think that has to be a Brock Nelson. And really? Because, like, it seems like there's a lot of talk around Brock Nelson. There's a lot of teams that want him. And Lou even wants him, and Darren Dreger said that. So, but I'll tell you this. If I was looking at a goalie, I would look at Peter Mrazek. Chicago got Spencer Knight, right? They made their trade, and Mrazek still has one more year. And I think it'd be good for 1 year, like, extra this year and the next. Look at Peter Mrazek as a goalie that could be on the move and maybe gaining value now with Gibson's injury last night.
My answer is Binnington. St. Louis is right there now on the doorstep, so it's doubtful it happens. But, man, is he keeping them in the hunt.
Yes.
Enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.